Welcome to the Aging Confidently podcast. I'm so glad you're here. I'm Karen Weaver, your host, and today's guest is Sally Holder. She is a now author, business coach, podcaster, and speaker. And I am so excited to have you here, Sally. It is going to be a fantastic conversation, and I think so timely for so many of us. Before we get started, I know your story is pretty cool, kind of twisty, windy, like so many of ours. So just tell us a little bit about how you got to where you are today as a business coach, speaker, podcaster, and now author.
Well, thank you for having me, Karen. Yes. I'm so excited to be here. I'm so excited that you've started this podcast. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think the concept in and of itself is so attractive to me as I embark on my 40s. But I'm proud of my age. So, and I love anybody speaking about women aging more confidently.
That's right.
So excited for you.
Thank you.
So my story, gosh, I followed the model of success that society and the world gave me. Mm-hmm. I was always a high achiever. I checked every box. And I was determined from a young age to be successful. I kind of jokingly say that as kids, everyone else was saying that they wanted to be, you know, a ballerina and a fireman. And I had already determined, you know, like outlaid all the analytics of what made you successful. Mm-hmm. And I determined that being a lawyer was one of them. So that was my trajectory. Yep. I was going to check every box to get there. Mm-hmm. And I did. And then I got there and I quickly was disillusioned. I found, and there was nothing wrong with the practice of law. It just didn't fit me. Mm-hmm. And so I was really frustrated. And I looked around and I thought that I had done something wrong, right? That I had missed a step. And so instead of blaming the model or society or anything, I thought there must be something wrong with me.
Right.
And I'm the problem. Mm-hmm. And so I went into quick fix it mode and met with probably every guru there was out there and took every personality test and everything on the market.
You're like, fix me, fix me.
Absolutely.
Surely it can't be that.
It can't. It can't be the model.
Right.
It has to be me. Mm-hmm. And because everybody else had told me the model worked and that when I got to the end of the rainbow, the pot of gold would be there. And by pot of gold, for me, I don't mean money. I mean peace and fulfillment. Mm. And that was my pot of gold. And it wasn't there. And I was so shocked, disheartened, frustrated. And so I, after a long time, 10 years staying in the practice of law, beating myself up, I was finally able to say, well, maybe I'm not the problem. You know, I tried every different scenario within the practice to change it up. And I thought, well, maybe there is another opportunity out there. And so I luckily had a friend in with a company called Stella & Dot. They she had approached me and said that she thought I would be a good fit for it. And she was a college friend from Houston that knew me well. And so I thought, well, fine. After much mm-hmm. reluctance, about 18 months of reluctance, I gave in and tried that and immediately felt more myself. Mm-hmm. I just felt like, oh my gosh, I'm able to come alive. I'm interacting with people more often. And a part of myself was fulfilled in that. And I stayed in the practice even for the first 3 years while pursuing that career in sales. And then really broke out on my own and started doing Stella & Dot full time after 3 years, and grew that more into a coaching mm-hmm. program and practice, and coached about 300 women all over the world and helped them start in Ireland and other places, and you know, hit all of those success marks all over again. Mm-hmm. All of those metrics that I thought I needed to hit to be successful in that career, because I hadn't done the hard work within myself. I had just transferred all of those success metrics into another career. I had just created that loop all over again mm-hmm. and was doing that in my sales platform. And then finally started blaming me again when I wasn't happy. And feeling fulfilled and thought, okay, my gosh, if I am wherever I go, then I have to be the problem.
That's a very enlightened discovery, and it's a very hard discovery, too. Yes. You're like, oh, great.
Great. My problems keep following me no matter what I'm doing, so right. I better work on me. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I did. I very diligently looked inside myself mm-hmm. and said, let's do some hard work. And I'm very open about it. That's when I chose to get sober. That was in 2016. I had started doing some coaching outside of Stella & Dot because I'd been coaching women only within that platform. And that's when I started coaching some women outside of the company. But that's when I really just started to dig in and say, what's standing between myself mm-hmm. and the type of fulfillment that I really want to have, the internal fulfillment, not just external, all the money and all of that, but what internally is going to make me feel fulfilled and what's standing between that. And for me, just me individually, I knew that alcohol was standing between that mm-hmm. and removing that would give me a better chance to get to know myself. Mm-hmm. And so I did that.
That's huge.
It was huge.
I didn't know that about you. That's amazing. That's a whole nother facet of you. It is. Yeah, good for you.
Thank you.
Because, I mean, in our society, that's a tough one to get rid of. I mean, we're such a social, you know, yes. around alcohol, just that's our social outlet for a lot of us. And so, yeah.
Yes. It was, you know, I took probably a year to myself to really do the hard work yeah. on me. And it was incredibly difficult. It's the thing I'm most proud of. I don't get a chance to talk about it all that often, but when I do, and somebody I feel so comfortable with, like you, I share about it openly because I want other people to hear stories of people like myself mm-hmm. that didn't, you know, I had my own moment of rock bottom, but I'm not living on the street. I don't, you know, I have a successful career and all of these things outwardly are successful. Mm-hmm. And so I don't want other people to believe that in order to have a problem, you have to look like that.
You know what? I love you sharing this because so many of us look at somebody like you or, mm-hmm. or somebody like me who feel like they have it all.
Yeah.
It's a perfect life. You know, she's right. a go-getter. She's this, she's that. And to know that you have struggles too, right?
Right.
And a big demon that you had to get over, that I think that's very empowering for people to hear that, and hopefully encouraging too.
I hope so. You know, I yesterday was on the phone with my team, and we were talking about the book, which I'll get into later. Mm-hmm. But you know, the tagline we sort of, and I'm just so open. I'm like, oh, here's our tagline. cultivate courage and be bolder. Mm-hmm. And be bolder is the framework that I outlay in the book. But cultivating courage is hard. And to me, what cultivating courage really looks like is being willing to look at those, like the worst parts of yourself, the parts that you don't want anyone else to know about, and being willing to look at those and deal with them mm-hmm. and then be open about them enough to share with other people and say, yes. hey, if you have struggled with this, me too.
Because we all have.
Yeah.
We all have. And it's a muscle, right? I mean, just like perseverance, it's a muscle until you test it. And I can assume it probably took a huge amount of courage for you to walk away from your law practice of the time and money that you spent getting there, the prestige, because, you know, everybody's like, oh, you're a lawyer, and your parents are probably pretty proud of you being a lawyer, and what are they going to tell their friends, and all that stuff. I mean, you think about that, especially when you're in a town where you grew up, you know, it is a whole nother level of eyes on you, I think.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Creating success from a place, creating change mm-hmm. from a place of success is extraordinarily difficult. And when you are in that place of external success, mm-hmm. even if there is a lack of internal fulfillment, other people want you to stay.
Mm-hmm.
It upsets their apple cart.
Right, for their comfort.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
So I got a tremendous amount of pushback mm-hmm. about, and I still do, which is so funny to me. Because I'm so incredibly happy doing what I do mm-hmm. now. But so many people still say to me, oh my gosh, you must be, just really still miss the practice of law, or don't, you know, isn't that such a regret for you that you no longer practice after spending 13 years, you know, right. 3 years in law school and 10 years practicing, doing that? And I'm like, absolutely not. I'm so grateful mm-hmm. for the gift of that time mm-hmm. to, you know, roll around in the muck and make all those mistakes
right.
and learn who I wasn't. So that I now know who I am.
Absolutely. And anything we do, whether you're a lawyer or my past corporate career, we can always use stuff down the road. I mean, you know, you do a lot of, with your business coaching, you were in labor law, right? So, I mean, how great is that for a small business owner to have you to be like, what do I need to make sure I'm crossing my T's and dotting my I's? So it all kind of rolls into one big, great package.
It does. Yeah. It's so true. I talk a lot about, you know, not regretting the past, because you, as you move into the person that you know you're capable of becoming and you're really following your true potential, the internal potential you know that you have, like that awareness inside you that's deep inside you oftentimes, and that I had that kept saying to me secretly, you want more, you could be something different, mm-hmm. you could be so much more, mm-hmm. and don't settle here.
Yeah.
And when you listen to that voice, you know, there is always going to be a thread that you can be able to look back and reflect on to be able to say, that's why I had that. That's why I experienced that. That's why I was able to, you know, go through that in order to learn and be able to utilize it. And I mean, even before this podcast, I was leading a via Zoom, a team retreat for 15 employees on teamwork and team culture. And I was kind of giggling that how much of that really had to do with my law practice,
absolutely.
Doing labor and employment litigation and doing trainings like that for employers, you
it's
know,
amazing.
Years and years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And now it all is relevant,
yeah.
but it all comes into play. So there's no need to regret the time that no time was wasted and it all will come in there. If you don't know how yet, give it time.
That's right. So you talked about, you know, alcohol was your biggest mm-hmm. obstacle or discovery point. So what would you say, you said you took a year off to yourself and did the hard work. I would love to hear kind of what some of those things were that you did, because so much of it, and you have coached me on this, is really discovering your own self-worth and not looking outwardly for that. And I know that that does come with that real deep asking the hard questions and taking the time and the quiet space. So what did you do for that?
Yeah, what a great question. So I'm going to kind of roll this into the book, because
okay.
a lot of that I talk about okay. in the book. So I have a book coming out called Hitting Rock Middle, and it comes out January 14th. And I wanted to give people the roadmap that I took. Mm-hmm. So when I looked so often at the market and I asked what's wrong with me, there were plenty of books out there to tell me there was a lot wrong
right.
with me. There weren't that many to tell me that there was something wrong with
the system. Yeah, that's great.
And I also jokingly say that the extremes were in the market as well. You know, there's the book that's like, How to Create Your Career for Dummies, mm-hmm. right? The yellow book, and no knock on that whatsoever, but it's just a list, right? And the type of life and career I wanted to have didn't exist in a list. It needed to be something that was unique to me. Mm-hmm. And I believe that that is what everybody really deserves, is whatever is their greatest gifts that they get to bring those out and give them to the world. And it could be a combination of 3 or 4 different things like mine, or it could be one, who knows? But it really wasn't going to come out of a list. And then the other side was this, you know, like Gandhi type spiritual approach. And I do think that there is a tremendous amount of relevance in that. However, that neither one of those gave me the business approach that I needed and wanted. And my mind is very analytical, and, you know, and so I wanted something very tactical to be able to walk me through a step-by-step process of someone else who'd followed this journey too, of creating the type of change in their life to reach their greatest potential like they wanted to. And so that's the roadmap I provide in this book. And I do it through that acronym, Be Bolder. Mm-hmm. And so to share one part of it with you, the first is really going back and beginning to dream again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not as simple as it's as I could just say, okay, dream again about what you want to do. Karen, good luck. But it's so much more in depth than that. And really, it's about doing the work to unlock a lot of those old habits, patterns, and beliefs that we built a lot of our beliefs upon. Mm-hmm. And so the foundation of momentum comes from your belief in yourself. And all of your beliefs in yourself very often are built on a lot of these old things that were taught. And so we have to be able to tap back into those and ask the deeper questions of why. Mm-hmm. Why do we believe that? You know, why are we going for success that looks like a law degree and that when, you know, being around people is what you love, when sitting in a room reading and writing all day is what I experienced in my law practice. And so it's fascinating to me that when you dig deeper and you spend the time thinking through what makes you tick and really saying, like, what makes you come alive, right? And asking questions like, you know, when you are your happiest, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. And when are you feeling that sense of a loss of time?
In the flow.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Then you're able to utilize what Gay Hendricks, he always calls the zone of genius, mm-hmm. which I love yeah. that concept. And he writes that in The Big Leap, another really great book. Certainly so mine is not the only one, but a fantastic book about getting to know yourself. And but beginning to dream again is really at the foundation of everything. And it's where I started. And I didn't realize it until I wrote the book to reflect on how I got where I am today. Mm-hmm. And, you know, unlocking all of that. And so I talk a lot about the process that you go through to unlock those habits and patterns of beliefs and start those over and kind of clear the slate mm-hmm. and say, okay, what do I want to believe now? Like, you know, what do I want to build this foundation on? And my belief is that you can do that at any time, right? And you can keep coming back, and the process of Be Bolder is meant for you to come back and do it over and over again.
Yep.
Each and every time you feel that nagging thought that you want to be bolder again, that you want to reach for a higher level of achievement or a different potential within yourself. And let me be clear, this book is not for people who just simply feel stuck mm-hmm. at all or want to change careers. It's about anyone who is a high achiever that's saying, I have more to give this world mm-hmm. and I just need to know how.
You know, one thing I think about as women, we all have that small voice you were talking about earlier, but I feel like we get so caught up in the busyness that the busyness we almost use as an excuse to shut it down. Be quiet, be quiet, be quiet. Like when the kids are younger, I'm busy, I'm busy, I'm busy. And then I do feel like that voice becomes much, much louder as we get into our mid-40s. I mean, you know, my tagline is turning a midlife crisis into a midlife inspiration, because when I started that in my mid-40s, having that rumble because my kids were growing up and did not need me as much. They're teenagers. They would rather not have me around, actually. But it was really hard to ignore that voice anymore. And so it was time. And it's almost like until it like punches you in the face sometimes, you just make it go away. So I wish I would have maybe, no regrets, but mm-hmm. listened to that voice a little bit earlier and given it some credit, you know, given it some, I don't know what the right word is, but acknowledgement, I guess, would be the right one. So, and I think that that happens a lot of people. You know, I have lots of people in my treatment room every week, and it is a recurring theme. I don't know what I'm going to do next. And even people in their 60s. So you're right about the Be Bolder concept, and B-E-B-O-L-D-E-R,
yes.
Be Bolder concept is something you can revisit over and over, because what I'm, you know, talking about now in my 40s, maybe completely different in my 60s. Like, what's the next thing, you know,
right.
and or my 50s or whatever. So I love that concept that you, it's not a one-time thing. It's one of those books to have on your bedside table to just keep reviewing. And when that little voice comes up, give it some air.
Absolutely. You know, I so identify with your idea of, you know, having the nagging concept, and it gets louder and louder
yeah.
and louder. And that's what happened to me. And I think that that's what happens to most people. Mm-hmm. But boy, is that a gift
yeah.
that it actually gets louder.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, I have a whole chapter in the book called The Pain of Staying the Same.
Oh, yeah.
And in that part is where I really kind of go into my decision to get sober and things, is that you know, until the pain of staying the same becomes greater than the potential pain of change, we will not make the change.
That's right.
Right? We fear the unknown so much mm-hmm. that we're just willing to simply stay the same.
So then I would say you turn to alcohol. Not you, yeah. but we. As we turn to alcohol. We turn to food. We talk
television.
To television. Netflix. Shut up. But friends, you know, like having people around you all the time, you turn to those external forces. And I just want to bring that up because people may not acknowledge that, oh, you know what? I think that might be what I'm doing. I'm filling my time because I'm trying to quiet that down rather than letting it go.
1,000%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. We fill our time with the busyness so mm-hmm. we can numb ourselves from the pain of staying the same.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
And there's lots of ways to do it.
Absolutely. And that's why I tell people, like, you may not identify with alcohol issue at all,
right.
but it substitute the word.
Right.
Absolutely. Just like you said. Mm-hmm. And it is just a numbing mechanism, any one of them, to keep us small.
Right.
And to keep us from our greatest potential because mm-hmm. we're so afraid, what if?
Right. What if I succeed?
What if I try and fail?
Oh, well, that too.
Yeah. What if I put myself out there and I'm not as good as that voice within myself? Yeah. Says I'm going to be, mm-hmm. right? That was one that kept me small forever is, yes, oh, my voice is telling me within me, you can do something, mm-hmm. you can do something incredible, but what if it's been lying to me? Mm-hmm. And I want to be here to say to people, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Trust your intuition, trust your voice, because it would not be there if it weren't meant for you.
That's right. I heard Oprah say, and I'm going to butcher this because I always do, but just even yesterday she said, your life's purpose is to figure out, what, do you know it?
Yeah,
what your passion is what your soul journey's life purpose is. So it's like finding yes. the purpose of your soul
yes.
and plugging that into whatever that is in your life. That's what your passion is.
Mm-hmm.
So I do love what you're talking about with that.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
Yes. She's incredible.
I know, right? Yes. My husband teases me. He says, well, you don't believe it's true unless your dad or Oprah says it. I'm like, well, true.
I know.
So you've walked the walk, which I think gives so much credibility to the book. And I'm wondering, do you want to go through the Be Bolder acronym mm-hmm. just as a high level? Or what's the best way? You want to do that?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Yeah, let's do it.
So obviously B is, well, this will be a test for me.
Oh,
I'm
gosh,
like, oh,
right?
Interesting. I was just coming from a different training. And so I was kind of joking with Karen before we started. And I was like, oh, gosh, maybe I've got to completely change gears.
Right.
This will be a good test for me now. Begin to dream again.
Uh-huh.
The second is the E, and B is envision a new future.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm huge about being able to, you know, what we envision can become our reality.
Mm-hmm.
And very often, for whatever reason, I know a lot behind it now because I've studied it and I'm, you know, that lawyer part in me comes out of research and all of that. And I want to understand how the brain works and how it actually attempts to protect you and prevent this like envisioning of a new created future. But, and so, yes, you may be on some default future that you have now, mm-hmm. and it may be just fine. But what I want to challenge you is, what about what, you know, a default future for those who are, you know, following along live, you can see is just, you know, a continued increasing small straight line. But you're capable of having a created future, which is a real quick line that slants upward very fast. And that created future is the one that I want you to be able mm-hmm. to envision that can be wildly different than you, the one you have now, or even better than the one you have now.
Is the E, is that the one where you told me about the tribe, where the tribal, like with your
yes.
brain weight, like you, first of all, so you say it, it's about the survival.
Yes.
But, yeah.
So your brain attempts to keep you protected.
Mm-hmm.
And that was what our brain needed to do for thousands of years. And so the development of our rational brain has only been around, you know, a couple hundred years.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you think about it, we've been taught generation after generation, stay safe. You know, there's lions, tigers, and bears out there. Oh my,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, don't go out into the wilderness, you'll get hurt. And so if anything unknown could cause damage to us and like physical death.
Mm-hmm.
And so it became that we were then, you know, conditioned not to do something unknown and different and challenge ourselves. And so that's the lesson we were actually taught. And so that's the brain waves that we mm-hmm. have that are over and over consistently firing mm-hmm. Each time. Mm-hmm. And so what you're wanting to try to do is create a new pathway in your brain, a new neurosynapses mm-hmm. in your brain. And in order to do that, you have to do something different. And so I tell the whole story in the book about, you know, it's kind of like standing at the front of a wheat field and looking over at one side and being able to see a really clear path. And you could walk down that path, and that is what you've always done. Or you can look over this way where there is no path at all and you need a machete to get through it. And that's what you're asking your brain to do each and every time you want to create a new neurosynapses, something that's totally different. So give yourself some grace
right.
when you're not immediately changing everything in your life just because you're aware that change needs to happen. Mm-hmm. You've got to go through the process and build that muscle, get that machete out and get to work and, you know, make that new path. Mm-hmm. And so you know, the brain says over there, I see that path. That looks really easy and convenient. We're going to take that one. Mm-hmm. We're going to stay on that convenient path, the one that protected us.
Right.
And so that's what we were kind of talking about earlier, about the brain having a lot to do with keeping us in place and not creating this new future that we might envision
yeah.
for ourselves.
You know, I just want to just say a minute and kind of a plug for you as being a business coach and who has absolutely helped me in the past is we're talking about, you know, athletes have coaches. So when mm-hmm. you're a high achiever or even just trying to achieve something, it's so invaluable to have a coach, a business coach. And I would say one of the things that was the most valuable with you was that right there is to just remind me to give yourself grace because, you know, when you're used to being go get it. And then you find it's like two steps forward, one step back. It can be frustrating. So to have that support group or a support person to say, I'm feeling frustrated, it's just so valuable to have that cheerleader almost in your corner.
Thank you.
Yeah. So maybe the book can be like that too. You know,
absolutely.
Keeping that in front of mind, give yourself grace.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I have a coach and I'm very passionate about the industry as a whole. Like you said, you know, I think 90% of the Fortune 500 CEOs have business coaches. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you're expected to perform at a very high level and constantly challenge the status quo, it is logical that you would have someone there helping to be the catalyst to continue to push you.
Right.
Because again, now that you know that your brain wants you to take a seat and do the same thing,
that's right.
You consistently having to do that by yourself is exhausting.
And it never goes away.
Right.
It doesn't matter what level. There's never a level you get to be like, okay, now I don't have self-doubt. I have no fear. It's fine. There's never that level because, like, if you're pushing yourself, then you need that coach. Yes, you can. You can do this. And so I remember, I think it was Oprah again. I think I remember seeing an interview with her that she said, I still get nervous. And Lady Gaga, I still get nervous. So when you think about these people who have been in the camera and you know, spotlight over and over and over again, they still get nervous. So it's okay to be nervous.
I love hearing that mm-hmm. and the authenticity of them being willing to say that.
Right.
And absolutely, I think that if you're continuing to challenge yourself right. every day, then you are going to get nervous because mm-hmm. you're doing it in a different way.
Right.
You're doing it in a new way. You're introducing something new. And they always are.
Right.
Like both of them are always pushing the envelope, not for others, but for themselves.
Yes.
So that they may be the best version of themselves that they possibly can be.
So it's helpful to remember it's just your brain. Mm-hmm. It's okay.
It's okay.
It's okay.
Everyone goes through it.
Everyone does.
Everyone has that brain.
That's right. And you can do it too.
Yes.
Just push it through. You get that machete.
Yes. Not literal, but figurative.
Become your
figurative machete.
Yeah, right.
And get to work.
That's right.
Cultivating courage and be bolder.
Perfect.
Yes.
All right.
So we should get back to
my... To
B?
To the B?
So that's
the boulder.
B.
Okay.
And I will say, I'm going to give a plug for the events because I'm doing a, and we just decided this yesterday, so I can share it with you guys and this audience only. I'm doing a 25 city book tour. You can get all of the dates and details. We're working on getting them all up, but it is at sallyholder.com. That's SallyHolder. And what's great is that at each of the stops, I will be giving everyone the workbook that coincides with the book. So it will be available for sale, but if you get a ticket to come and see me in person and participate, then you're going to get the workbook that's going to take you through all of these steps of Be Bolder that I go through in the book, and that, Karen and I did a group coaching course, and I took them through that process. And so it allows you to really write out your thoughts.
That will be invaluable.
About all of these.
Oh, yeah. Because one thing to read it, but there's another thing to take that action step. And so good. That's great.
And write all that out for yourself, for sure. So I'm really excited about them to have that, for everyone to have that. Okay, so then...
So let me ask you real quick, too, while we're talking about the book and the dates and everything, people can go ahead and pre-order that book right now, right?
Yes.
Okay.
It's on Amazon.com. It's on Barnes & Noble, but my favorite go-to is M. Judson Booksellers here in Greenville, South Carolina. I have a link to their page where you can purchase it from a local bookseller. So
we love supporting local.
Yes, we do. So, in fact, I've partnered with local booksellers at each of the stops, so I'm always going to have a local bookseller there. I could sell it myself, but I want to partner with other local businesses and really give them the support that they deserve.
That's great.
Good. For great authors.
So
exciting. So they do so much great work to help us all continue to grow and learn.
That's right.
And so, okay, let's see if I can remember this. I jokingly say, you know, you spend so much time writing the book, and then it went to print. You know, I turned it in 2.5 months ago. So it's been a minute since I've gotten to read it.
I should have brought my workbook with me.
Right. I know. So begin to dream again. Envision your future. I'm struggling on that B.
Okay. Skip it. Do you know the O?
O is the overcoming your obstacles.
Okay.
So we have so many of those limiting beliefs that we immediately insert back into our lives as soon as we create this new future.
So true.
So it's all about, you know, oh, well, I can envision that. But immediately we then go to, but there's
to the path.
Yes.
Because that clear path.
Yes. I want to know exactly every single step I've got to take to get there.
Right.
And if you don't know it, then the first thing that you begin to do is it is create all of these obstacles. And so I go through a process of how to remove those barriers, whatever your individual barriers are, so that we can create, you know, a better path for yourself, because there always is a way for you to get there.
Can I, so is that the facts and feelings spreadsheet or facts and feelings worksheet? So this is going to be great for you guys to do. This was life changing for me, because when you look at what am I feeling on one side of the sheet and then the fact of that feeling, like let's say, I can't even think of an example right there. I had a whole sheet and I can't even.
The feeling is that no one will buy my work.
Right, right. Yeah.
Or the feeling is that the price is too high.
Right, yes. But the fact is, I ran my numbers and figured out the treatment cost, and the number's just right. So that is gives you so much empowerment. And I also used this when we were coaching for my personal life, you know. And to be very vulnerable here, one of my feelings was, you know, I don't feel like I'm being a good wife. And I and your fact to me for that side, which I keep going to over and over again, is how good of a wife you are does not determine your worth. And I'm like, that's right. But not to say I'm going to be a crappy wife and just stay there. But, you know, it just that doesn't determine your worth. It's not a checklist. It's not a like a performance, no. right? I mean, it's so the facts and feelings is such a great worksheet. I can't wait for people to do that.
I know. Mm-hmm. And I have a small version of that in the book, but certainly the workbook has the full.
The big version.
Yes.
You'll want to get the workbook. Just know that. Just if you purchase it, just get them both.
Yes. And it does take people through that. And I mean, if I jot it down on a piece of paper all the time when I'm going through an idea or, you know, I'm wanting to challenge myself and I'm saying all my feelings around this are X, Y, and Z. And I'll lay them all out on a piece of paper, you know, and they'll say things like, you know, I'm not good enough or no one wants to hear what I have to say.
Or, I don't have enough money. That was one of mine. There's plenty of money is the fact.
Right.
You know, the universe provides as needed. And so
fact is you haven't actually gone out and looked for it yet.
Right. It's just a feeling.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, when you come back to the realization, you realize, oh, no. Those were all just part of that well-worn path.
Right.
And just habits. I keep repeating those things over and over again.
And it'll keep coming up and rearing its ugly head over and over and over again. So to have that tool to implement again and again is crucial, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it can be such a great catalyst for change. Mm-hmm. And that way, if I'm not in front of you, I can be, you know, a little birdie on your shoulder
saying. You are a birdie all the time on my shoulder. Are you the angel?
Right. Absolutely.
Or the devil. No, but yes, always the angel. All right, perfect.
Yeah.
So that's overcoming obstacles.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to this is killing me. I mean, I can't believe
it. I should have prepared.
I know. I should have looked at my sheet before. I mean, I know what they all are, but I don't know how I said them.
So paraphrase it. It doesn't matter.
The other main one is being able to run with it, you know, which is the last one. And, you know, that is going all in on your concept, you know, going all in on, you know, who you want to become and stopping the doubt and, you know, being able to know that it's going to take 100% of you and that, it is always your belief that dictates then your actions. So the foundation of momentum for all of us is our belief in ourselves. And so when we believe, which all of those other steps are going to help you really firm and shore that up, then we have the ability to be able to run with it. And that's why it is the end is, okay, now that you've shored up that belief, go and do it and take the action. Because the action then is going to dictate the outcome, and the outcome is what then dictates your continued belief in yourself,
right.
and the results.
Refuel. Yeah, that's right.
But when there's a crack in that belief, when it's, you know, fundamentally flawed or, you know, you're only halfway in, then you're only going to take half the actions.
Right.
And those half actions will then dictate the results. You'll get one quarter of the results.
And then be like, see, I told you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's all a self-fulfilling prophecy. And that's why I really found is that, gosh, if you're not doing that big hard work in yourself first to look at all of these, then nothing changes, right? Nothing changes if nothing changes.
Yeah. When you and I first started our coaching back in January, I would say probably the first 4 or 5 sessions was just the personal inside hard work. It wasn't even the business piece yet. But what was so amazing was once we did that work, the business piece skyrocketed. It was like, it wasn't the piecemeal. It was like it put it on overdrive because then with that worth and that feeling of confidence, then the sky's the limit.
It's so true. You know, and I ask people all the time who want to skip that part, how has it worked for you in the past when you have?
I think you asked me that.
It might have. I think that I did.
Dr. Phil moment,
Yes. Where she's like, okay, this is all great. I thought we were here to work on your business. And I was like, I am. And whether you realize it or not, this drives every bit of your business. And so whenever people come to me and they say, like, we're not going to talk about anything personal, I would say, well, good luck to you. You can keep going. Because I'm not the right coach for you because I have had way too much experience to know that it's that personal aspect of yourself that ends up, you know, changing the professional.
Mindset.
It really is.
Right. Comes back to it. And you, when you feel like you're starting, excuse me, to lose that mindset again, it's nice to know you just need to come back to the facts. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. And mm-hmm. that's what's great about, you know, the starting point being, you know, beginning again, mm-hmm. is knowing that you can always come back to that part. Because as you said a little while ago, which I love that concept, that, you know, who I was at 22 mm-hmm. is nowhere close to who I am at 40
right.
or
for,
will be at 42. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so why am I trying to force myself into that same small container right. where I knew a lot less and I had a lot less life experiences? And so why would I expect myself to be doing the same thing?
Right.
It's fine to evolve. There is no problem
with
that.
Well, that's aging confidently, right? To acknowledge that and to be grateful for that. That's the whole premise of the podcast. And that's why I love your book, because you're giving, I mean, all ages. I'm sure, you know, they're all ages. But really, I feel like that 40s, like I was mm-hmm. saying, is really the kicking point. But it kind of gives them the permission to right. Be celebrating getting older instead of like, oh my gosh, when my life is over, that's it, I'm done, put me out to pasture.
I know,
where the best years truly are ahead of us. Like I've said this before, when my kids are gone to college, I'm be like, let's do this. I mean, I love having my kids at home, but I'm also looking forward to the next chapter too. And kind of being intentional about it, because you definitely can get to where your kids are all off to college and you get that moment of, oh my gosh, I've put them first for so long, I don't even know who I am now. So I would suggest, I'll put this little, my own personal tip that I feel like has been important in my life, is to begin with the end in mind, first of all. So where do I want to be, you know, in retirement? So begin with the end in mind, but then also to stay a step ahead. So, you know, if it seems like you want to do this new career in 4 years, well, what do we need to start doing now? To get so then when you're ready in 4 years or 3 years or whatever, you're not waiting till the kids are gone and you're just in this like depression state. It's like you have the next thing to look forward to.
So true. I do feel like at this age, I'm just now yeah. coming into my own yeah. and the best years are ahead in large part. Because you know so much
right.
at this age
mm-hmm.
and you've learned so many life lessons mm-hmm. that you're able to put into practice. And it makes me so excited too that all of this is even part of the conversation today.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That for me, and maybe I was hiding under a rock, but I don't recall having a lot of, you know, opportunities to hear stories or conversations like this growing up. And I mean, what a gift that we have. Just the ability to talk through what it looks like to challenge ourselves after the age of 40, and that we're creating, people like you are creating an entirely new concept mm-hmm. about what it means to be this age and what the future can look like
right.
beyond this age. And I have way too many people I talk to in seminars or workshops that I lead, and they'll come up to me after and say, gosh, it, you know, your story is so empowering and I'm so excited, but you know, I'm 50 and it's just no use starting over, you know, and I giggle a little bit because, you know, I want to say to them, did you get nothing out of what I just said?
Were you listening?
But yeah, which is basically that, you know, you can start at any time.
That's right.
And create that new, we were talking about default mm-hmm. versus created future. You can have that created future in whatever time frame you want mm-hmm. to, mm-hmm. which I think is so incredible and almost, you know, awe-inspiring and magical to think about, is that there are no boxes to check. Like yeah. you could have that creative future in a month. Who's to say that you won't do something and then be discovered and then have, you know, this miraculous future in a very short period of time.
Yep.
So get started.
There is a job to be created for everyone. If it's
right.
something you, I mean, there's any, especially with social media, you
right.
can create a job. I tell you what I need, if there's any local people,
yeah.
as I was thinking, you know, to do seasonal window displays, those really cool, like, you know how Altered State does these really cool, like almost landscapes for the holidays. Like how cool, like you could create a job that does mm-hmm. just that. If you're in Greenville and do that, text me. But you know what I mean? Like even something as simple as that, if there's something you love, like chalkboard art for mm-hmm. businesses. I mean, you could do anything, which is amazing. So figure it out.
Yeah.
Know you have a tribe of women to support you physically, energetically, all the way around, that we, you know, we love to celebrate each other's successes. So anyway, it is an exciting time. There's never ever been a better time.
I agree.
To get out there and get it done.
I'm so curious about what the future holds too. Mm-hmm. And I love to live in a state of curiosity.
Me too. You know what, on my chalkboard it says, follow your curiosity at home. Of course, my teenagers make fun of me.
I don't care.
But follow your curiosity because you never know where it's going to take
exactly.
you.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Mine, as you know, on my blackboard in my office forever has been the phrase, be clear on your intentions, but fluid on the how.
That's right.
And so all we need to know is what we want to create mm-hmm. and then remain curious about how that's going to come to fruition. And if you continue to take the next step in front of you, just the next right thing, whatever it is that you perceive mm-hmm. is the next right thing, you are not making a mistake. There is no mistake. That every bit of that, as we talked about already, you will learn from, and it will lead you to the next step. Mm-hmm. And all of those, as long as you're very clear on what your intention is and where you're headed, the rest of the path will appear.
Yeah, it will. And I think another piece of it is really not worrying about what people think of you.
Yeah.
You know, I wrote down this little quote that I think I made up. I don't know. But something, you know, life is way too short to worry about what other people think of you. And mm-hmm. like, why would you let what somebody else thinks of you steal your joy and your passion when in reality, honestly, we're all so absorbed with what we are doing and thinking about ourselves that truly people are not really thinking that much about you. So don't give yourself so much credit. So just, I mean, I think some people think, well, what if I do fail? Well, what if I have this? But well, if people do judge you, then those aren't your people.
Right.
Your people then are the people who say, good for you for trying. Mm-hmm. Now, what did you learn from that? And let's figure it out. Mm-hmm. So.
And we don't think about the other end of the spectrum, right? I mean, the thought is instead, what if I fail? Yep. Well, what if I stay the same forever?
Or what if I succeed? I mean, mine is like, what if I fail? But what if it's amazing?
What if?
Yeah. What if? Like, what if it's amazing?
Right.
Right? I mean, it's just changing that mindset a little bit.
Yes, it's all about the questions that you ask yourself and those that you consider.
I know. It's great. So to wrap up, I know you have your podcast. I want to make sure everybody knows Sally also has a podcast called Hitting Rock Middle that is fantastic. If you're one of those women who sometimes need just a little jolt to kind of hear a success story by another, are they all females that you've interviewed?
I do have a couple of males.
A couple of men. Okay. Yeah. Most of the ones I've listened to have been females. But sometimes when I feel like I might be walking this journey alone a little bit or a little bit down on myself, I'll listen to one of your interviews because it is so good to hear when other people struggle. Because you realize you are not alone, and here was the struggle, here they got out of it, and here's their success to show for it. And your guests are always very authentic and very vulnerable, which I really appreciate and get a lot out of that. So if you're looking for an inspirational and just very informative podcast, Hitting Rock Middle is great. And then Hitting Rock Middle, your book, you can pre-order it. Of course, you know, support local when you can. Is there any other things you want to say? I mean, you do offer coaching services, obviously, and you have people all over the United States.
I do.
Are you international yet?
I don't have any international clients.
All right. Yeah.
I did see that my podcast is trending in Ireland, but again, I have some good friends that live over there.
That's right.
They're spreading the word for
me. That's great. That's
so
great. So if you need a business coach, I cannot recommend Sally highly enough if you need somebody. But the great thing is, I mean, there's only one of you.
Right.
And so the wonderful thing is about this book is that I feel like now you've replicated yourself. So anybody can have access to that coaching as long as they're willing to do the work.
Absolutely. You know, if you have the courage, this book is the roadmap for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So great. I'm so proud of you.
Thank
fantastic.
You.
So well earned. And all the women you've coached over all the many years, it's so great to see how you can use that to just benefit all of us, you know, share that path. So is there anything else you wanted to share? People, how they can reach out to you or social media?
Follow me on Instagram. It's just my name, Sally Holder. And if there is someone listening in a city that is not on the book tour list, mm-hmm. reach out to me. I always tell people we can add some. We're still adding some cities around. And if you do live locally in Greenville and are listening to this, come out and see me. I would love your support on January 14th because I am nervous as all get out.
You're going
to
be great.
That the book is going to launch and I'm going to be standing there by myself. So
you, I can assure you that will not happen.
we all have our fears.
Is that
right?
Your feeling?
That is my feeling.
Your the fact I'm going to go ahead and tell you is there's not going to be any place to sit. It's going to be standing room only. So last question before I let you go. What does aging confidently mean to you?
It means to me that you are resolute in who you are as a person, that you will not let anyone then pull you out of alignment with yourself. Mm-hmm. And when you are aging confidently, you have that, you know, internal, you know, mechanism that is holding you strong. Mm-hmm. And that sense of being out of alignment where you value someone else's values over your own, that's what I mean by being out of alignment, where you're doing something out of mere perceived obligation mm-hmm. or that horrible word should, mm-hmm. You know, because you feel like you should. Aging confidently is when you say no to those and you feel good about it.
I love, okay, you're talking about you being a bird on the shoulder. Yeah. I can't tell you how many times I say to myself, you're saying that you say if it's not a hell no, I mean, if it's not a hell yes, it's a no. So yeah. when I even get, you know, if it's not a hell yes, I'm like, it's going to have to be a no because we only have a limited amount of energy.
Exactly.
So I love that. I love that. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This is going to be so helpful. So many people, and I cannot wait to get my hands on your book
Me
so I can
too.
Have it. Next in my business Bible book stack for sure. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you've learned something today that is helpful to you. If so, please share this podcast with your friends so we can grow our Aging Confidently tribe. Please subscribe, rate, and review wherever you listen to podcasts to keep us relevant. And join us live here on our Aging Confidently Facebook page the second and fourth Tuesdays, typically at 10. We were a little bit later today, but typically at 10 a.m. Eastern time. And just remember, we are all beautiful and have so much to offer this world, especially when we can come from a place of gratitude and confidence. So let's age confidently together and turn the so-called midlife crisis into a midlife inspiration. See you next time.